Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. Now, you could download that app anywhere you get your apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Once it's downloaded, you search for WILK News Radio, follow us, and that's it. That's all you have to do. Works seamlessly with your vehicle's CarPlay. It's a great tool to have if you're traveling around. You get 180 of the Odyssey stations across the nation. You can pick stations wherever you are locally. If you're in the area and want to hear local news, local sports, local music, your Odyssey app is the place to go. Podcasts, we got you covered there. Anywhere you get your favorite podcast, just search for The Rob O'Donnell Show. And smart speakers, just ask those little suckers to play WILK News Radio. It is coming up on 310, 38 degrees here. Big difference. On this Thursday, March 12th, 2026, don't mind it. The weekend is almost here. One more day tomorrow. Another Friday the 13th, though. We've had a couple of them, haven't we? We got a hell of a show lined up for you today. I'm going to get into the breaking news that's happened today in a second, but we have the 28th Small Business Administrator, Kelly Loeffler, is going to be on the show at 4 o'clock today. And we got Senator Dave McCormick is going to be joining us at 5 o'clock today. So we got a whole bunch of stuff lined up. But since there is a lot of things happening, I'm going to dive right in to what's breaking right now. A few things. We've had two active shooter situations today in two different parts of the country. Right now, the most recent is this West Bloomfield synagogue, where a vehicle did ram the synagogue through the front door, made it pretty well into the synagogue itself once it crashed through the front doors, and armed with a rifle, from what reports are saying, and that shooter has been put down by armed security of that synagogue. There is minor injuries, that's what we're being told, minor injuries to one of the security leads at that synagogue who was struck by the vehicle when it rammed the front doors and made its way into the synagogue. That vehicle then combusted. And from what law enforcement and synagogue officials are saying, that there was some sort of accelerant at this time, they believe, that caused that car to burst into flames. There are live pictures now of smoke billowing from the vents of the roof and front door of that synagogue. There are plenty of personnel on scene, so I would assume that it'll be under control, and maybe it's just because it's a contained building, the smoke is still venting. We are also told that the body of the suspect is severely burned, and identification is going to take some time. So we don't know who the alleged suspect is in this. They did ram their vehicle. If it is not a stolen vehicle and they could trace it back to the origins of the owner, they might have an ID more quickly. But at this point, we're being told that the body is pretty badly damaged for being in the car. The suspect never left the car, was armed with a rifle, and again was shot and neutralized by armed security at that synagogue. So that's the most recent one that's happening right now. Earlier today, Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia, had an active shooter, to where there were two victims. Those victims, I believe, the last I'm told, are in stable condition. And the shooter, again, there was neutralized by law enforcement, who did have a massive response. The university community was told to shelter in place, run, hide, and fight, was the message that was sent out. And two students were wounded. Now, some of the information that I'm being told, let me pull it up, the most recent from verifiable sources is, and again, I'm not getting this from official sources, but it is from verified sources and law enforcement at the scene. But if what I'm hearing is correct, is the Old Dominion University shooter is a former National Guard member who was convicted in 2016 for attempting to support ISIS and has since been released from prison. And his targets were two ROTC members of the university. ROTC members are members in the officer training program in a school, in a university. They are members of the university. They are students. They are also part of the military branch of that university, where they earn not only their degree but their commission upon graduation. A lot of times ROTC members, their tuition is paid for by the Army. If it's the NROTC, that would be the Navy. I believe these were Army ROTC cadets that were members of Dominion University. Those were the victims here. If the information is true, and this is a former National Guard member who has been convicted of attempting to assist ISIS and was therefore kicked out of the military and put in prison in 2016, since released, this could be a targeting of our military members in the Dominion University setting. Now, again, with these two incidents happening within hours of each other, two parts of the nation, one's in Bloomfield Township, West Bloomfield Township, Michigan, just outside of Detroit. The other one is in Norfolk, Virginia, right outside of Virginia Beach. Again, one was a synagogue in the Michigan. West Bloomfield Synagogue was the target, and Dominion University, where it appears ROTC members were the victims. There, I believe, from what I'm hearing, they're in stable condition. This has set off. There has been an increased security presence at all military bases across the nation. Because of what's happening in the Middle East and the threats that there have been, there has been increased awareness. I'm also being told that forgive me while I'm trying to pull up other information to get to you. There's been alerts put out to our military members and their families to not wear identifying clothing, to not wear their uniforms, to not wear anything that signifies they are related or in any way to their military service because of what's going on. So that has been ongoing. That is normal operational security warnings that family members get and members of our military get when situations like this happen. But we do have these two active shooter, a suspect who is dead from being shot after ramming a truck into a synagogue, setting a fire. From what law enforcement and synagogue officials have said, there could be of some sort of accelerant device that used to set that vehicle on fire. The fire was too intense to be just organically caused by the crash itself. But there's always that situation. Let the investigation there take place. The only injury there, well, the two injuries, the suspect is deceased from being shot and is burned beyond recognition, as per reports. But the one of the security leads, the head of security for that synagogue, was struck by the vehicle when it did ram the synagogue. That suspect was, again, engaged by security and shot and killed. He was armed with a rifle. We do know that. As far as the weapon for the Old Dominion University shooting that happened about 10:30 this morning, I do not have a report at this time of a weapon, but two ROTC members of that university were the targets. If were they victims, they could be, but the fact that we're hearing that the suspect in that case is a former member of the Army National Guard who was convicted and charged with attempting to assist ISIS in Iraq, which is formerly known as ISIL, I believe, and since released from prison, the military, it's a good assumption that the military was probably his target. Now, Old Dominion University, Norfolk, Virginia, Norfolk being the largest naval base in the world, is troubling. So hopefully we get more information there. Some information that has been clarified is we did report it, and ABC News has been pushing it, that police departments in California were warned that Iran wants to retaliate for American attacks by launching offensive drones against the West Coast, according to alert reviewed by ABC News. The administration has since come out and said that that should be immediately retracted, and it's utter nonsense. As per the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, she says this post and story should be immediately retracted by ABC News for providing false information to intentionally alarm the American people. They wrote this based on one email that was sent to a single local law enforcement department in California about a single unverified tip. The email even states that the tip was based on unverified intelligence, yet ABC News left that out of the critical fact, of their story. Why? To be clear, no such threat from Iran to our homeland exists, and it never did. So they're saying that the warning and threat of Iran using drones on the west coast of the United States was based on a single unverified tip that they have yet to verify and is a stretch as far as logistics would go for Iran. But the fact that we have seen Iran work hand in hand with the cartels, could it be a cartel-led thing? Yes, it could be. But as per the administration, they're saying that's nonsense. So that's the breaking news for today. Again, the Old Dominion University shooting in Norfolk, Virginia, that took place about 10:30 today. That shooter was quickly neutralized, but there are two victims that were wounded. That's the information I got, that were wounded. And both are reported to be ROTC members of the Old Dominion University. And again, we have this West Bloomfield Synagogue in Michigan, where a vehicle did ram the front door of that building, make its way into, it's a very large synagogue, make its way in, where the suspect was engaged by armed security and shot and killed. He was armed with a rifle. The vehicle then combusted, from what reports are saying, some sort of device or accelerant may have been used because it did not appear to be an organic fire that happened from that vehicle. So we are tracking both those, but we're going to get to all our normal stuff that we get to in stories on a day like today. It is 3:20 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Did you catch my morning coffee with Rob O'Donnell this morning? Yeah, see, something new I might start doing in the mornings. Kind of give you a brief. It was under 2 minutes, kind of a brief weather, traffic, and one of the lead stories for the day. It's on my YouTube channel, The Rob O'Donnell Show, and on my Facebook, so you can check it out there as well. But one of the things I covered is Mayor Paige Cognetti was at the PSEA, the Pennsylvania State Education Association, the teachers' union, one of their headquarters here in, I believe, Kingston it was, to launch or at least have a press conference about her congressional run. Now, since it was the middle of the day, I believe it was like 1 o'clock, hopefully she took some sick time or some time off from the taxpayers as a mayor in Scranton, because this was a campaign event. So just hopefully that happened. And I found it unusual that she held this event at the Teachers Union Hall, considering that when she was the school board director, she was a proponent of laying off 65 teachers and a few dozen support staff when she was there. And then when it got tough, she left and went down to the Auditor General's office, Pennsylvania, because you can't be making tough decisions when you have political aspirations. You just can't do it. But I found it odd that the teachers union would have such short memory for someone who was going to lay off dozens of their members, or proposed and supported laying off dozens of their members. 65 teachers, I believe, and there was a few dozen support staff in the Scranton School District when she was the school director there. How quickly they forget. So what she said there, I found odd, because it's different than what she said when she announced that she was running for Congress on September 5th. On September 5th, she says it was cuts from the Big Beautiful Bill. She talked about non-existent initiated cuts to Medicaid, and that was stated September 5th of 2025, right here on this very station. Or was it stock trading? That's what she said was the reason she was running yesterday, March 11th, 2026, that made you run. It's hard to track all the different reasons that she uses, especially since her paid campaign associates, an agency called Fight Agency out of Philadelphia, used clips from your congressional campaign ad you released your campaign ad in September of 2025. But this Fight Agency released clips from your campaign ad on January 2025 on X. for a publicity ad for themselves just 3 weeks after Congressman Bresnahan was sworn in, and a full 8 months before Paige Cognetti announced her run for Congress. So I find it odd. I even have some of those clips. This is from September 5th, 2025.
This is not what I planned to do. This is not the plan coming in, you know, certainly into 2025, not even into the summer. But once I saw the cuts in the Big Beautiful Bill, once I started to hear stories about people whose Medicaid is already being cut for their children with disabilities, people whose health care premiums are going up 182%, somebody has to stand up and try to bring some checks and balances back and represent the people of Northeastern Pennsylvania. So this is not what I planned to do. This is not the plan coming in, you know, certainly into 2025, not even into the summer. But once I saw the cuts in the Big Beautiful Bill, once I started to hear stories about people whose Medicaid is already being cut for their children with disabilities, people whose health care premiums are going up 182%, somebody has to stand up and try to bring some checks and balances back and represent the people of Northeastern Pennsylvania.
So that's what she said, and this was yesterday.
This office, when during the spring and summer it became clear.
Well, hang on, let me see if I can get this.
Rob Bresnahan recruited me to this office when during the spring and summer it became clear from his financial disclosures that he was trading on his votes.
So was it the Big Beautiful Bill that made you run? That's what you said in September 5th of 2025. Or was it because of your trading allegations that you made yesterday? If you can't keep your own story straight on why you're running for Congress, how are people supposed to take you seriously from the city in Scranton who, for some reason, elected you again to pay you to run for Congress? Or the reason why you're truly running for Congress. Here's an idea. How about you tell the people of the district, 8th District, what you plan to do, what your plans are, what are your goals, what do you want to see happen? Because so far, all I'm hearing is the big, bad, beautiful bill. And now stock trading, when you I could post a picture of you glad handling with your arm around Nancy Pelosi just 2 or 3 years ago here in downtown Scranton, right in front of the courthouse square. So which is it? I mean, I think you should at least be honest for a change with the voters of Northeast Pennsylvania now, shouldn't you? So it's interesting how when you announced your run for Congress, it was about the big, beautiful bill and cuts to Medicaid, which didn't take effect yet, but somehow you talk to people who are already affected by cuts that didn't take effect yet. And otherwise, now it's the stock trade, because that's the key thing. I'm surprised you haven't brought up ICE yet. I mean, because that's the key point now. Maybe you have a brother that was detained by ICE a year and a half ago. No, it was 3 years ago. No, it was 5 years ago. No, it was 10 years ago. My bad. And we can have someone call in and say that that's the person, right? Yeah, that's politics in Northeast Pennsylvania, right?
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's politics from Northeast Pennsylvania. Got a text message in. Yeah, somebody said she announced from a local for a different teachers union than Scranton's. I get it, but the PSEA is the PSEA. They should realize, I mean, teachers as a whole in Pennsylvania should realize that here's a woman who advocated for laying off 65 of them, but now they're giving her a place to give her press conferences off. I'm available here anytime she wants to come on. Anytime you want to come on, you know, we're open to all candidates that want to come on, but you will get questions here. You will get questions and have to answer. Well, you don't have to answer. You can choose not to answer. That's your choice. But come on, when you can't even get your own statement straight over a few month period, how are we supposed to know anything of what your real intentions are? When the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? That's what we hear. Well, you know what? I don't have ARPA funds anymore, so being mayor here, or rubber stamp city council, so being mayor is going to get a little hard. So let's find something where I really can just sit back and point fingers at the other team and go, look at them. Look at that. You listen, if you want to validly run for Congress, what are your plans? What do you want to do? Where's your vision? What do you want to see? Stop making up and pointing fingers at other people. But, hey, listen, please keep doing that if you want to do that, because if that's all your platform is, you really didn't get your money from Harvard, I guess. It's 3:32 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So it has been confirmed that the Old Dominion University shooter has been ID'd as Mohammed Jalal, a former Army National Guardsman convicted in 2016 for attempting to provide material support to ISIS. He's a naturalized citizen from Sierra Leone. He was released from federal prison in 2024. I did get an update on the condition. The two Old Dominion University ROTC cadets are in critical condition. So they are not out of the woods. They are not in stable condition. They are in critical condition. All this is on my Facebook page, so you can check it out there. So that's the update on what's happening there. And very concerning that this individual was former Army National Guard member and that he's formally been convicted of assisting to provide material support to ISIS. So and released in 2024. So 2016, I believe he was convicted in 2017. No, he was convicted in 2016. Less than 10 years in jail for trying to help ISIS as a member of our military. Not a good look. Luzerne County consultant wants $847,000 more for COVID-19 fund oversight. Somebody want to tell them that COVID's over with? Luzerne County consultant wants an additional almost $850,000 for overseeing projects awarded COVID-19 recovery funds from the American Rescue Plan Act. The initial cost of the consultant's contract was nearly $2.1 million. Because, of course, we need a consultant to handle the consultant to handle the consultant for the ARPA funds. That $2.1 million was awarded in 2022 when the county expected 30 projects would receive nearly $113 million in ARPA funds. Robin Booth, a founder of Maryland-based Booth Management Consulting, said Tuesday, County Council, the cost estimate is now up to $2.9 million because Council ended up awarding ARPA funds for 154 projects, and that requires more staff hours to properly conduct oversight, Booth explained remotely via Zoom video platform. Listen, not for nothing, but if you're getting paid or wanting to get paid, if you're already paid $2.1 million and you're looking for $2.9 million, maybe it's a good idea to get off your butt, get in your car, and drive up from Maryland instead of going over Zoom. The company is not charging its hourly rates, Booth said. Oh, no, $2.1 million. The federal government required a commitment to spend ARPA funds by January 31st, 2024, and a deadline to spend the ARPA funds is December 31st, 2026. Well, here's the thing. How about all the ARPA funds that haven't been spent yet go back to the taxpayers? How about that? The value of the company's oversight to the county is $3.5 million, Booth said. Oh, they're giving us a break. The company has identified fraudulent costs of $500,000 flagged through monitoring and reviewing and has prevented $3 million in unallowable costs before reimbursement payments were issued, Booth said. What she's basically saying is, listen, you were going to pay $3 million that was unallowable costs for reimbursement, and we caught $500,000 in fraud. So that $2.9 million you're paying us, well, that's money well spent because that's money you would have spent. Here's the thing. How about we have a city manager and we have a city county council that oversees, a county manager and a county council to oversee these funds? But no, we got to pay someone 2.1 or 2.9, depending how you go. Now, The county administration recommends council approve a resolution on a contract amendment with this company, and council could vote on the resolution at the next meeting on March 24th. It's your taxpayer money. Get involved with government. Hold people accountable. Listen, if you haven't spent the ARPA money yet, yeah, maybe it should be refunded to the taxpayers. That's a good bet here. $2.1 million paid, wants an additional $847,000 because, you know, the work was bigger than was expected. And listen, you can't blame them for trying, but you can blame the people with oversight of your tax dollars for just giving it away. It's 3:42 here at WILK. Oh, here's where you will save money, though, on NEPA premium perks. Enjoy this half-off deal. For Denny's in Pittston, get a $25 voucher for only $12.50. You don't need a consultant to figure that one out. Great atmosphere and casual dining. Now open 24 hours Wednesday through Saturday. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's located right here in front of Walmart Supercenter in Pittston. Visit getmyperks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Well, here's who and what to blame for oil skyrocketing. It initially skyrocketed to $120 a barrel. Let me see where we're at right now. Well, since we're discussing this, because I do track it. Right now, crude oil futures are at 94.75 per barrel. So 94.71. See, look at that. It went down 4 cents just in that second. So it's still up there, but not at the $120 a barrel here. But here's what's really causing the panic and widespread. Listen, it went up almost 30% to near $120 a barrel late Sunday night, only to ease. But basically, you got high-profile hedge funds, a bunch of high-profile hedge funds, which are creating the panic. Trading sources tell on Monday that each of the same trades in the oil future market, they also use similar AI-inspired algorithms to set risk parameters designed to prevent significant trading losses. But when on Sunday the initial headline began to cross about the possible prolonged war, their algorithms kicked in all at once, sending oil prices through the roof. And as the funds attempted not to get stuck in a bad trade that resulted from a soaring prices for crude, each was said to have lost some big bucks. So according to one Wall Street trader who was in the middle of the turmoil, this was pretty crazy, and once the price of oil broke through their risk parameters, it was game on. Maybe the best indication is that the steep rise in oil over the weekend was largely algorithm-driven, was that the war isn't going to be as bad, and the price of oil in the days would indicate. In fact, every Wall Street analyst briefed on the real situation on the ground is hearing that Iran's military is on its last legs. It can still do damage, but less likely with each passing day. That means tankers should soon be able to gain renewable access to the Straits of Hormuz. In the meantime, there's a lot of ways to make up for the decline in the Gulf supply, oil from Venezuela, domestic production. We're seeing the release of strategic oil reserves from around the nation. This is exactly what's happening right now. Also worth noting, particularly as we move forward with gauging crude as a proximity for mission success, is how oil prices are set. Like all commodities, they aren't set by some all-knowing sage declaring what a barrel goes for and what the open market control the commodity traders. It's been experienced that they are the short-term thinkers on Wall Street aside from proprietary stock traders. That means they trade off headlines, even if those headlines don't provide context or are warped. So again, the mainstream media, hedge funds, and big oil are the ones causing this panic that's creating this influx. Saudi Arabia has already rerouted 80% of its oil from the Straits of Hormuz over to the Red Sea. Again, not without some risk, but greatly reduced. And listen, we get 2% of our oil from through the Straits of Hormuz. So it really doesn't affect us one way or another, but the oil change, the world market does. Here's the thing. China today came out and told Iran to knock it off. Their ministry came out and warned Iran that they want an immediate ceasefire in the Straits of Hormuz, opened immediately. You know why? 60 to 80% of their oil goods go through that Straits of Hormuz, so they are panicking. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Looking at something right now. Hang on. So we touched on this a little while ago, but I had this story on my schedule, so I just want to touch on it again, where there was this warning put out by ABC News saying that they saw this terrifying FBI memo where Iran was planning drone attacks on the west coast of the United States. This would be the first time we've had this type of fear. Well, I guess 9/11, there was some sort of concerns. But since World War II, right, Pearl Harbor, there was a lot going on the West Coast, a lot of fear on the West Coast. But the administration came out and said the post and the story should be immediately retracted by ABC News for providing false information to intentionally alarm the American people. They wrote that based on one email that's sent to local law enforcement in California about a single unverified tip. The email said it was unverified intelligence, yet ABC News left that part out of their critical story. Why? The press secretary asked. Well, it's to create panic. It's to create turmoil. It's to create distrust in the administration. It's to create, and stoke the ones that don't agree with what's going on in the Middle East right now to say, look, you're threatening us right here in our backyard. Look at the stuff you've done. And while they're doing that, there's very real threats. You have this former member of the National Guard in Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia, which happens to be 2 miles from my daughter's place of employment. So, yes, I am personally invested. Yes, I am concerned. It was also targeting members of the ROTC program in our military, where I have 2 other children in that demographic, both near Norfolk, Virginia. One of them is. The other one's not there anymore. So one near Norfolk, Virginia now. I am concerned. And this suspect was arrested and convicted of attempting to assist material support to ISIS in 2016, was released from prison in 2024. And what did they do? Well, they take a weapon, some sort of weapon. I haven't seen what kind of weapon was used in the Old Dominion shooting. And they go to a university here in America and they shoot 2 ROTC cadets who are trying to serve our country and get an education at the same time. We also have this synagogue ramming and shooting incident that took place in Minnesota. So, yeah, there are very real concerns. There are very real incidents. And you add that to the 2 Pennsylvania residents who drove all the way to New York City to throw IEDs at police and protesters, you got yourself some issues here across America. So when I say situational awareness, when I say see something, say something, we truly mean it because there are real threats here. We've been told time and time again there are thousands of unknowns here and known terrorists that they have not located here that were let in under the last administration on a border free-for-all. And here's a suspect, this Old Dominion University, that was arrested for trying to give material support to ISIS. In 2016, it was released from prison already. Now, I understand there's parameters, but let's wait and see. Was he released early? Did he serve his full time? And was he monitored after the fact? Here's someone that we convicted of trying to help ISIS. Do we monitor him all even after he served his time in prison, or do we just say, all right, see you. Hope you learn your lesson. Bye-bye. But yet, you have these, and these reports go all the time. I mean, I get a lot of them for being former law enforcement and through my contacts with law enforcement. But when you see threats against the West Coast from Iranian drones, and you look back, what, just a year and a half ago, We were having drone reports all across our area, especially here in the Northeast, but literally all across America, that we still really haven't gotten good answers for. It was kind of just don't worry about it. But there are real threats here, right here in our backyard. So I'm just looking at another story coming across our line right now. So, you know, these are the things that are happening around our nation. These are the things that are happening. And listen, these intelligence reports come out by the dozens a day. Some of them are more high priority than others. But we don't need our media simply because they don't agree with what's happening politically or nationally, giving some oxygen and others not. It's just dangerous. It's dangerous because you do have people who are on edge. You do have people who are high tension right now because of the threats that are going on across this nation. So that being said, is it responsible to hype things like unverified, single-sourced, unverified tips that warn of a drone off the West Coast to a national story to where it was publicized almost ever? You know, I'm looking at the New York Post now. I'm looking at ABC News. It was talked about on our news breaks. Again, a single-sourced, unverified tip that the FBI gave local law enforcement saying, hey, we got this tip. We can't verify it. We just want you to be aware of it because we got in a lot of trouble for that last time this happened during 9/11. Well, it's coming up on 4 o'clock. We're going to be back with the small business administrator on the other side.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.